It is wonderful once again to be down here at Covenant Primitive Baptist Church. As Brother Jimmy already said, we're from Mount Zion Church up in Crown Point. And as I look out across the congregation today, I see four former members of Mount Zion Primitive Baptist Church here. So it's almost like being at home. And I know, as you've heard me say many times before, I feel so at home down here. I know my daughter does too, Amy. You know, you just open up your hearts unto us so much. You know, and see Sister Sharon and Sister Ruth, Sister Mary, and, you know, Brother Greg. These were all members one time up at Mount Zion Church. And, you know, they're still a part of our hearts. I want you to know that. And as we came down here and everybody, you know, Sister Jill just opened up her home unto us and just was so good unto us. And all of the children have been really good to us. And as I woke up yesterday and opened up my door, and I was in there for a little bit, and Daniel come in and kind of hugged me a little bit and told me good morning and asked me if I had a good night's sleep. How many times would you go somewhere and a child would come up and say that to you and everything? And he was showing me his little nights and everything that he had and everything, and it was really wonderful. And I just want everybody to know how much at home we feel here. And just a few comments before I get into my message this morning. And, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the gospel sat there and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And earlier this year I was reading, I'm going through Brother Bobby Poe's devotion, and he was talking about that. And he said, how many churches, if they were brought up on charges of being a house of prayer, could be found not guilty? And as Brother Leroy and myself were able to participate with the men this morning, as we had a little prayer meeting this morning, and as we were sitting here and praying over Matthew as he's going on to college and everything, and Brother Jimmy praying and all the prayer was going on, in my estimation, Covenant Church is guilty. They are guilty of being a house of prayer. Now, that's one thing you want to say you're going to be happy to be found guilty of, right? Is being a house of prayer. And you can hold fast in that and be persistent in that you are a house of prayer, and that you have been found guilty today of being a house of prayer. How wonderful that is. If you have the Word of the Lord with you this day, if you turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to be reading verses 28 through 30. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in speaking says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And what I want to concentrate for a short amount of time this morning is in verse 28 and the first three words, "Come unto me." Now, we could actually break this verse down into three areas. Come unto me, and all those that labor and are heavy laden. And at the very end, he makes a promise unto those that come unto him that are laboring and heavy laden. And he says, "I am going to give you rest. I will give you rest." And I was looking up here, and I was looking at what Brother Jimmy had written up here, and I seen how he was talking a little bit about rest. I'm not going to get into that because I haven't really studied it out much, but I was picking some nuggets of wisdom from Brother Jimmy this morning on rest and everything. But come unto me. Now, Jesus is doing a couple of things here. He's saying come, but he's also calling them. He said, "I want you to come unto me," but he's making a call unto them. And we're going to look at those, you know, two areas today. We're going to go through some scriptures and see coming unto him. And when I don't believe he's making a general call, but he also makes a qualifying statement there. Those that labor and are heavy laden. Those are those people that look and see that they are laboring and they are heavy laden. Those are those that I believe that He's going to call, and those are the ones He's talking to come unto Him. Because if you are of the world and you are out in the world, you don't believe that you're laboring. You don't believe that you're heavy laden. But when the Holy Spirit enters into your hearts in the regeneration, which is totally passive on our parts, then we realize that we are heavy laden with the sins that have been upon us. And we would like to have those removed from upon us, and we can finally see that it is only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can these things happen unto us. And it is just wonderful. So we're going to go look through some scriptures here. First place I'd like to go to is John chapter 14 in verse 6. Now our Lord and Savior is talking here, and Thomas has asked Him a question. It says, Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Now Jesus makes just a wonderful statement here. And it's, you know, a lot of people sit there and say, well, it's hard for me to understand the King James Version of the Bible, but I don't know how anybody can misconstrue and not understand what Jesus is saying here. He's basically saying, I am the way. You can't misunderstand that. I am the way. He's the only way. The only way. He is the life. He is the only life that we can have. But apart from Jesus Christ, we have no life. We have no life. Now you look at that and you say, well, I'm alive, I have a life. But you don't have spiritual life. Apart from Jesus Christ, you have no spiritual life. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's one thing we'd like to see, Matthew. Apart from Jesus Christ. Take Jesus Christ with you, Matthew. We're all hoping that, I know as we've been sitting there, and it's kind of humbling to be a part of this as you see this. Don't mind me as I walk around. I like to walk around with it. It was very humbling to be a part of this as we seen last night. See, Sister Jill, I'm very observant about things. I seen Sister Jill walking around getting everything ready for Matthew. And I know it had to hurt a little bit in here because her son's going away. Dads, we might know a little bit about that. Don't get me wrong. But I know that it hurts the moms a little bit more. Not saying nothing against me, Brother Jimmy. But as we seen that and packing everything, one of the things, Matthew, that I hope that you packed was Jesus Christ. I hope that you packed Him with you. And you take Him with you. And you sit there. And when you unpack Him at the house, I believe you're, what is it, Brother Tommy? Brother Tommy? You know, that you unpack Him in that house, and that is with them there at that house. We know the Lord is already there with that house, but that and He's with you as you go to college. And don't just take them and unpack them and put them on the shelf. Don't put them on that bookshelf. Pack them and take them with you as you go to class and everywhere you go, because you need Him with you all the time. He's the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I got the other backed up. I got a little bit different there. The truth. He is the only truth that is in the world. He is the only truth that's in the world. But we look at it. No man can come unto the Father but through Him. Come unto Me. Come unto Him. If you want to know the Father, you have to know the Son. You have to know the Son. So, come unto Me. Come unto Jesus Christ. It is only through Him that we can go to the Father. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the only mediator. See how important He is and how important it is to come unto Him. When we're in prayer, what are we doing when we go in prayer? We're coming unto Jesus. We're coming unto Him. And we're asking Him for things. Now, hopefully we don't ask for those things that we don't really need. But let's face it, we are human, aren't we? But we need to ask Him for those spiritual things that we need to get through our day, to get through life. But come unto Me. No man can come unto Me. Again, we see this. Nobody can come unto the Father. Nobody. So again, we can't get confused. We can't try to sit there and say, well, I don't need Jesus. You know, because sometimes we think, well, I don't need that guy. I can talk directly to you. I can go to God. I don't need Jesus to be between me and God. But we do, because no man, it plainly teaches us. Why do we want to sit there and justify ourselves before God or try to rationalize things, as we've been talking about this weekend, that no man can come unto the Father but through me? So we have to come unto Him. One thing I've noticed is there's quite a bit in the book of John that talks about this. And see, sometimes I know you think maybe your pastors know a lot and everything, but I don't know about Brother Jimmy or Brother Leroy, but I'm learning all the time. And as I'm learning, I'm studying, I'm seeing these things. And it is amazing as the Lord opened these things unto us. So, in a little side note, read and study the Scriptures to see if these things are so. In John chapter 6, turn to verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now we see Jesus has come unto me, but now he's sitting there saying that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent Jesus into the world draw you unto him. So it is the Father through the Holy Spirit that speaks unto us and draws us unto Him. I believe we of our own volition cannot come unto Him. Because if you look in chapter 2 of Ephesians, before the Lord spoke unto us, we were of our father the devil. That's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. But read chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you will see the state and condition that you were in prior to the Lord calling you to come unto Him. Prior to that time, we did not have spiritual eyes or spiritual ears to hear those things. But when He enters into our heart, He changes us completely. We are completely changed. He's given us new eyes. He's given us new ears. He's given us a new heart. We can see those things. We can hear those things. So that as that still small voice talks unto you and says, come unto me. Come unto me. And that is that Father that's drawing us. I like to look at that as that irresistible grace of God. That irresistible grace of God. You cannot resist the grace of God that calls you unto Him. You know, I know what that's all about. I know a lot of you do too. Because we strove against that drawing. Did you have that struggle within your heart when He started talking to you? You've had that struggle in your heart. And finally you realized you couldn't resist. You cannot resist. And I know there's people that sit there and say, you can't resist. You can tell God, I don't want you in my heart. That you can refuse Him. You can't refuse Him. Because if you could do that, then God would not be God, would He? But God is God. And He's the immortal God. He's the only true living God. He's the sovereign God. And isn't He on His throne of glory today? And He's in control of everything that happens in this world. But as we were discussing yesterday, He's not the author of sin. But He is in control of everything that happens in this world. And I don't know about anybody else here today, but I'm happy for that. I'm glad that He's in control of everything. You know, up in Chicago, sometimes I see a bumper stickers as you're driving around. It says, God is my co-pilot. I don't want God as my co-pilot. Now, you might think that's a strange saying to sit there and say, I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I want God to be the pilot of my life. That's what I want Him to do. He's the great one that should be in control of our lives. go a little bit earlier into John chapter 6, verse 35-37. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye all have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. These verses are just wonderful. Look at in verse 37. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a promise that God has given unto us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That if we come to Him, we're never going to hunger. We're never going to hunger. Now, I believe He's talking about two hungers here. One, I believe He's going to take care of us with our physical food. But I believe what He's really talking about here is we are never going to hunger spiritually. Because He's going to fulfill all of our spiritual needs. And how wonderful, we're never going to have to hunger for that spiritual food, are we? Because He's going to keep feeding us. And how does He keep feeding us? He feeds us through the Word. Through the written Word and through the spoken Word. He feeds us. And we're never going to thirst. Isn't that wonderful? We're never going to thirst. Who gives us unto Him? The Father gives us unto Him. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's what I'm talking about. You can't resist. If you are one of His children, you are going to come to Him. You shall come to me. Isn't that wonderful? Your names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is going to come a time in your life that you're going to hear that calling of the Father. And you are going to come unto Him. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once you come unto Him, you're His. And you're His forever. You don't have to worry about Him casting you out. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to sin no more. I want you to understand that. You're going to be a sinner. You're going to be a sinner until the day you die. But if you sin, remember, we have an advocate with the Father. He's going to chastise us. He's going to chastise us, but He's not going to cast us out. He will never cast us out. It's the wonderful thing about what Primitive Baptists believe in. And that's why when I look back on the years and I see the things that I didn't believe in before and the way I believe in now and how sweet it is when you can see those things, that He is never going to cast us away. And not everyone can come to Jesus. That's a hard doctrine for people to swallow, that not all can come unto Him. A lot of people want to believe John 3:16 the way they want to believe it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. People believe that is the whole physical world. And all you have to do is just come unto Him. Live a good life. And you're going to be okay. But that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. We have to. Only those that the Father give Him can come unto Him. Those that have been elected in Him or chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Those are the ones that are going to come unto Him. Nobody else. Nobody else can come unto Him. And again, this is a certain group of people. Zealous of good works, that the Bible says. Peculiar people, He calls us. We're a different group of people. And God knows them and reveals Jesus to them. God reveals Jesus to us. How do I know that? Let's turn back into the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And we're going to show you. As we've been talking about, what do we need to do? Using Scripture to compare Scripture to see if these things are so. I'm going to start reading at verse 13 down to verse 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So flesh and blood did not reveal that unto Peter, who he was, but our Heavenly Father revealed it. And He's the one that reveals it unto us also. And that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when He reveals that unto us, what do we want to do? We wanted to come forth and ask for home in the church, didn't we? And we wanted to come up, we wanted to say, what? I want to be identified with Jesus Christ. I want to be identified as one of His children. And I want to ask for a home in the church. And I want to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when He is revealed unto us and we can see those things. But you had to be born again. You had to be born again. Because before that, it could not be revealed unto you. As I've told the saints up at Mount Zion, you know what? In the regeneration, He gives us a new heart, Brother Jimmy. He gives us a new heart. That old heart was no good, was it? He had to give us a new heart. Because it has to be received into the heart. And that old heart, or that heart of stone, could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because they were spiritual. So He had to give it to us. The circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. Amen. So now the heart can receive those things that are revealed unto us. That's really wonderful. We're going to look at the word calling for just a little bit to see these things. And Brother Leroy would know, I couldn't speak without going to the book of Ephesians. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. We're going to go down to verse 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." I'm going to continue on. "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We have received a calling when He says, "Come unto me." And in verse 1 He says that He beseeches us. That's an earnest pleading by Paul that we would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye have been called. A called, the vocation. We have been called out of the world to be what? Christians. We are identified with Jesus Christ. Not to be identified with a religion, but to be identified with Jesus Christ. There is one body and spirit, and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One hope. One calling. There's only one calling. That's it. That's that effectual calling that can only come from Jesus Christ. That's it. One calling. And that hope, that blessed hope that we have, that the rest, that rest that we're going to receive, isn't that just wonderful? That we are going to receive. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A lot of words in that little verse there, isn't there? It is through the power of God that He has saved us. It's through the power of God that He is what? He has called us with a holy calling or an effectual calling. Not according to our works. It's not according to anything we've done. It's not according to our good works and that we're a good person in the world, is it? It's not according to those things, because it's according to His own purpose and grace. It's according to the purpose of God. It's according to the grace of God. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Read Ephesians chapter 2 if you want to see that purpose of God and the power of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How wonderful. We weren't even born. We weren't even thinking of being born. But it was given to us in Christ Jesus. It was given to us all those years ago, before the foundation of the world. Roughly that would be about 6,000 years ago, Brother Jimmy, somewhere around there. Not millions and billions of years ago, as scientists would like us to believe, but 6,000 years ago. Can you believe? Can you just fathom that thought that God gave us to Jesus Christ by name? By name. It's not a number. We're a number in this society today, aren't we? With God, there's no numbers. It's only names. And He gave us Brother Jimmy Barber. Isn't it just wonderful? Brother Leroy Rhodes, all of the saints of God that are here today, God gave you to Jesus Christ by name before the foundation of the world. Before the world began. That shows you the mighty power of God and how wonderful He is. I know sometimes we were talking about songs and different things. Sometimes, but there's a song I listen to every now and then. I hear it on the radio. It says, "Our God is an awesome God." And He is. He's an awesome God. And how wonderful and how great He is to do these things for us before the foundation of the world. And not of works of righteousness or anything we have done on our own, but just choosing us in Him before the foundation of the world, according to His own purpose and grace. Boy, if that don't humble you under the mighty hand of God, there ain't nothing can do that. Ain't nothing can do that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start reading at verse 28. I don't know how far I'll read. If I get caught up, I might just read the rest of it all. But, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm going to just read to the end. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As that is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. When we come unto him, we receive all these blessings. But in verse 28, it says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called according to his purpose. So all things work together for our good if you are the called according to the purpose of God. And in verse 30, I like how he has these four steps. And you can't take either one of these four steps away. They all have to be in there, don't they? And he said that, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he calls us. But we have been predestinated in him before the foundation. He calls us. And whom he calls, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we've been predestinated. We are going to be called. We've already established that today. And if he calls us, he justifies us. Now, I ain't going to be able to do it as much justice as what Brother Jimmy has done in his book on justification. And I really enjoy that book. But I believe it comes down to that we're not guilty. So, he predestinates us, he calls us, he pronounces us not guilty, and he's going to glorify us. He's going to give us rest in that heavenly city. If you want to do. He glorifies the saints. He's going to take us up and be with him. And ever, ever shall we be with the Lord. That's going to be just a wonderful day. A wonderful day. I'm going to look at a song that's in your songbook. It's song number 492, and it is aptly entitled, Come Unto Me. And I just like to read it. I ain't going to sing it because I don't sing that well. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. So when we come unto him, isn't it just wonderful? You know, hear the blessed Savior. See, hear that blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, calling the oppressed, those that are laboring or heavy laden. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come, no longer tarry. I your load will bear. See? We are heavy laden. But he says, you know what? Give me all your burdens. Give me all your cares. You know what? I will take care of them. See, we were of the mindset, and we have the impression, I can do that. I can't remember what that saying was on your refrigerator, Brother Jimmy. Something about a self. How to be miserable is to be all wrapped up in self. That's being wrapped up in I, me. When you're wrapped up in that, see, we think, I can do it. I can take care of it. You know, but he says, bring me all your burdens. Bring me all your cares. Casting all your cares upon me. Do it all. Give it all to me. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Do we trust him? We need to come unto Him and trust in Him. Are you disappointed wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Remember, we talked about that struggle. That struggle. Bring your case to Jesus. He will give you rest. You know, sometimes you don't know what that's all about. You know? When you have certain things in your life, and you think you can do it all, and when He makes you realize you can't. And I was going through a hard time in my life. And I was having some anxiety attacks. Apologize. And I went to the doctor, thought the doctors could just give me them pills, take it all away. And I didn't do what they said. I didn't cast my burden upon Him. I didn't cast my care upon Him. I thought the doctors could do it. I thought pills could do it. And I had a lot of people help me. One of them sitting right here. Brother Jimmy took the time out of his life. And his family talked to me. He said, let's figure this out. And I got that strength from God to sit there and just throw them pills away. Amen. And cast all my care upon Jesus Christ. And you know, He took care of me. Amen. And I've never taken another one of those pills again in my life. And it's only by the grace of God that I won't. And I know when maybe work gets me down a little bit, the cares of the world get me down a little bit, I don't turn to pills. I turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I go to Him in prayer. And that's what we all got to learn. We need to learn. We think we can do it all. We turn to self. And that's when we become most miserable in our lives. But we can do it and cast upon Him. Have your cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet. Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus. He will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim His best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest. Come unto Me. I'm going to close with that. Come unto Me. I know some of us know what this is all about. And we need to have faith. We need to have trust in Him. That when we go to Him, you know, I read this one little poem or whatever one time up at Mount Zion. And you know, when we go to Jesus, you know what? We never get a busy signal, do we? When we go to Him, He's always there for us. He never turns us out and never turns us away. And that's what we need to learn from these words today and from this. When the cares of this world get you down, when you think that there's no one else that you can turn to, there is someone that you can turn to. And His name is Jesus Christ. I thank You for Your kind attention this morning.
Amen.